Well, happy Easter, everybody. What a great day, huh? Easter and the celebration of transformation and rebirth and renewal and new beginnings and spring all at once. It's so nice. And so for people of the Christian faith today, this commemorates the rising of Jesus out of that tomb, the rising and ascension and resurrection of Jesus out of that tomb and into eternal life. It represents that rising out of the realm of human limitation and of struggle and rising into a heavenly realm of freedom and liberation and boundlessness. And for those people who are not Christian today, it is still a celebration. It's a celebration of spring and of the equinox, celebration of the newness of life and of renewal as the plants begin to leaf out and things begin to bloom. I've been to the park this week and at my yard, and everything's so beautiful and lush and leafing out after that cold of winter. And the animals are beginning to have babies, and the birds are building nests and hatching out their young. And I've actually been to the park this week, to El Dorado Park, where we have discovered a great horned owl who has three owlets in her nest that are about this tall, all fluffy white, don't have real feathers yet. Everything's so fresh and new and alive this time of year. It's so invigorating to us. And if you do not know, the word Easter actually does not come from the followers of Jesus or even from the time of Jesus. That word Easter is so much older than that. The word Easter actually comes from the word Oster, which is a pagan goddess, the pagan goddess of new beginnings. She is the goddess of renewal and of rebirth, and she represents the sunrise and the new dawn. And throughout history, she has been celebrated at the spring equinox and especially during the month of April. And so today, still, even in our secular traditions, we see Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and chocolate eggs and chocolate bunnies and brightly colored eggs. And those brightly colored eggs are still a carryover tradition from those pagan days, too, where they made eggs bright gold and bright colors to represent the return of the sun at the spring equinox. And those eggs represent new birth. And the rabbits represent fertility and new life. And all of that represents new beginnings. And so here we are on this Easter Sunday at this time of year of new beginnings. And so today we're going to be looking at the symbolism of spring and the Easter story and the story of the resurrection and the ascension and the pagan goddess Oster and new life, and how all of that applies to us in our own lives today. And so the title of my talk is Rising Up. And what I'm really talking about is about rising out of the experiences that are no longer serving us. Rising up and out of those things that really aren't working for us, that don't serve our highest good, that don't feel like they're serving us, and instead moving into the experience of our heartfelt desires. I'm talking about moving out of feeling stuck and instead moving into a realm of freedom and of creativity, the creativity to create our lives anew out of the infinite potential of the universe, out of that infinite potential that is everywhere present, that is the very core essence of our life, the core essence of life itself. I know that every single one of us want to experience freedom. We want to experience that sense of boundlessness. We want to be able to be who it is that we want to be in this world. Whether that means something like being a chef or owning your own business or being a computer programmer or being an artist, it doesn't matter. We all have something that we would like to be in this world. We also have things that we would like to do and things that we would like to experience. And so perhaps for you that means to travel to some new place that you've never been before. Or perhaps to move into a new home. It's downsizing, or it's upsizing, or it's just having a fresh start in a new home. Or perhaps it's about having better communication with your spouse. Or maybe it's about having perfect health. or maybe it's just about having abundance. But the thing is, there's something and a place of freedom that we are all seeking to experience in some way in our lives. We want to move out of the limitations of the past. We want to experience that sense of boundlessness in our lives. We want to experience our own wholeness and our own power and our own completeness. And we want to experience the good of life. Anybody relate to that? The problem is, though, is that we have to lift ourselves out of our past experiences and the conclusions that we've drawn because of those past experiences, the beliefs that we've created out of them, in order to have something new. Because what happens is we have experiences and then we tell ourselves things like, this is just the way things are. We tell ourselves things are never going to change. We tell ourselves, I will never have this thing or do this thing or be this thing simply because I never experienced it in my past. It's just going to be the way it's always been. We tell ourselves those stories. All because the past is not reflecting what it is that we want to experience. So we believe in the power of the past more than anything else. We tell ourselves things like, or think things like, I'm never going to have a successful relationship. I've never had one in the past, so there just are no good men or women or whoever out there. Or we tell ourselves, I've never had a successful relationship. It's just too much work. And so we think that's then what's available in the future. We tell ourselves things like, my family had this history of this particular illness, therefore I'm going to have it. We're projecting the past onto our own future. We tell our things like, I've never liked to exercise, so I'm just always going to be fat because I'm never going to exercise then. We tell ourselves things like, I've never had a job that I really liked, so I'm never going to have a job that I like. That's just not in the cards for me. We make up these stories and project onto our future whatever it is that we've experienced in the past. But the resurrection is all about transformation. The resurrection is about renewal, transfiguration. We experience transformation in that resurrection. And so there are two different ways and things that we can do to transform ourselves and to transform our lives. And the first one is to rise above those false ideas of the ego. It's the ego that says those things. To rise up above those false ideas of the ego that say, I must be separate from that infinite presence, even though it permeates everything. Somehow I must be outside of it or separate from it. We tell ourselves things like, life can withhold from me, or life does withhold from me. We tell our self things like, I am somehow outside or separate from good itself. Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says, the resurrection is the death of the belief that we are separate from God. That's what creates the resurrection. It is the death of the belief that we are separate from God. Joel Goldsmith, who was a Christian Science practitioner, said, the reason for discords is that God is present only where God is realized. Where God is realized, grace is in expression. We only experience God in our realization that God is present, in our realization that good is present, that it fills our lives, that it's right where we are. So we participate in our own transformation, in our own ascension, in our own rebirth and renewal, when we cease to identify with the past and with our stuckness and with what has not been working. Instead, when we identify with the infinite potential of the universe, that is the very essence of our beingness. That is the essence of being itself. that infinite potential that is the essence of life itself and therefore the essence of our life. So we cease identifying with the past and with limitations and our stuckness and where we've been, and instead identify with the infinite potential of the universe. Joel Goldsmith also says, God has nothing to give us. Everything that God is, we already are. All that God has is already ours. Closer than breath and near than hands and feet is the isness of that presence, the allness of that presence. All that God is present at every point in space and time, equally present, right where we are, right at the center of our lives and right at the center of our beingness. It's like a fish in water. The fish is swimming in the water, and water exists within the fish. It's the same thing. We are swimming in that presence, living in it. It fills everything, and it fills us also. But like electricity may be running through our entire house, but it doesn't work for us until we flip the switch. We have to turn it on. And we turn it on by our recognition of it, by our knowing that it is present, by our openness to it, knowing that that is the truth of our beingness and the truth of our life. Knowing that brings heaven to us. Knowing that creates heaven right where we stand. And so the second thing that we can do to transform ourselves and to transform our lives is to learn from our past experiences. Those things that haven't worked so well or that haven't been totally fulfilling have something contained inherently within them that is an invitation to you to unfold something greater, to be something greater, to discover something greater about life, something greater about who you are. So we learn from the past experiences, and we embrace the invitation that's contained within them to be more. And that is, whether experiences are positive or negative, there's always an invitation within it to give birth to something new and something greater, to give birth to our own innate power, to give birth to our own wholeness and stand in our own wholeness, to stand in the authority of yourself, perhaps, to discover that boundless love that is inherent within you, to discover your own spiritual magnificence. That's how we transform our lives, by saying yes to that invitation and embracing it and being it. We allow the positive and the negative experiences to unfold something greater within us. I look at me and how this positive experience of ministry has grown me so much from when I began. I work 2 days a week as a hairdresser. I look at my history of that and how that has grown me so much in my life. I also look at being in relationships and how every single relationship that I've had in my life has grown me and expanded me and allowed me to discover things within myself and to bring them forward that never would have happened had I not been in those relationships. And at the same time, I see the same thing for those relationships ending. How each one of them ending also had an invitation within it, and how I grew from that and brought something new forward and discovered something greater within myself and gave birth to something new. So it's the positive and the negative. My two next door neighbors, how much I've grown from being in relationship with either one of them. Everything inherently has that invitation in it. So we accept the invitation and we step into it. That's how we transform ourselves and transform our lives. We step out of our ego. The ego is the one that wants to point and say they are bad and they are wrong and it's their fault and it has nothing to do with me. We step out of our small self that says I am a victim to these people treating me this way. We step out of our limited self concepts, and instead we step into the infinite potential that lives within us, that it is the very essence of who we are, and we accept the invitation. And so I would like to share a story with you. It says, on September 11th, 2003, I was sitting at Unity Center of Austin for a special memorial service for those who had died in the tragedy of 2001 and for the other losses in our lives. I'd experienced many losses in the last few years, and life had become a crushing weight on me. My teaching job was challenging, my family seemed in constant turmoil, and I felt adrift. As I sat in the pew, I felt completely alone. Tears came to my eyes, and I silently released my despair. I said, I let go of all of it, God. Whatever I'm here to do, I surrender to your infinite wisdom and love. My life is yours. I left that service not knowing what my future would hold. I knew that God would guide my life and I would walk in God's care. The next day, I would come to realize the power of letting go. It was a gentle, easy Friday morning in the classroom. My eighth grade students had begun their work when my pager began to vibrate. I am a volunteer emergency medical technician, and my pager indicated that there was a medical emergency in our building. I told my students, I'm going to the office to see if they need help. As I headed over to the office, another teacher called to me, "Hurry, Terry, it's in the art room." I had no idea what it was, but by the sound of her voice, I started to run. When I arrived, I found the school nurse and our police resource officer on the floor with a very young boy. They were using a bag and a mask and trying to give the child air. When the nurse saw me, she said, "I don't think I'm getting air in." I grabbed her stethoscope and listened to the air in his lungs and assured her, "You're getting it in." As I prepared to start compressions, another officer entered with an automated external defibrillator. I applied the pads to the boy's chest, and the machine analyzed his heart and recommended an electric shock. I'd been trained not to use the machine on a child, but everyone began telling me, "Push the button, Terry, push the button." I asked God for guidance, and quickly the response came, "Push the button." I declared everyone to clear and push the button and waited for the machine to tell us what to do next. Cleared to begin CPR. I began the chest compressions while the nurse and officer continued ventilations. Nearing the end of the set, I noticed the boy's eyelids start to flutter. As I finished the set, he opened his eyes and began to look around the room. Just then, the ambulance arrived and the paramedics entered the classroom. The nurse, officer, our principal, and myself all cried with joy as we heard the child begin to cry and talk to the paramedics. We knew he was back. I returned to my class to the relieved teacher who had covered for me. It wasn't until later, when I saw the school nurse again, that I began to process the morning's events. The nurse looked at me and said, "Terry, maybe this makes up for Kevin just a little bit." I looked at the nurse and realized how personal this was for me. 11 years earlier, my 15-year-old son, Kevin, had died at his high school from cardiac arrest. He'd had a heart transplant, and although everything had previously checked out very well, he'd actually been in rejection. As the nurse and I talked, I knew how my life had changed. This boy's family would not go through what we had when our Kevin died. I'd been blessed to be a part of a miracle. I gave my life to God, and God gave me the greatest gift of all. God gave me a chance to save a life and change mine. Terry Lucas is a middle school teacher in Pflugerville, Texas. She's a speaker and the founder of Cardiac Lifesavers, training hands to save hearts. Everything contains within it an invitation for us to discover something more and to be more and to transcend what isn't working, and to transform ourselves and to transform our lives. That's the symbolism of the Easter story and of spring and of the equinox and of Oster, the goddess. And so when you find yourself in a challenge in your life, I invite you to ask yourself, what am I being called to be here? And to listen to the voice of your own soul, not to your ego that wants to point fingers and make them wrong. to ask yourself, what am I being called to know here? There's something greater that is seeking to be discovered. And it's not just in the challenges, it's all the time. It's in the good times. What am I giving way to here? By recognizing that there's an invitation, it puts us in a place of power. And so my invitation to you is to affirm to yourself daily, today, I'm a new person. The limitations of yesterday are dead and gone. Today is a new day filled with boundless potential. And so I invite you to repeat that after me. Today, I am a new person. The limitations of yesterday are dead and gone. Today is a new day, filled with boundless potential. So get clear about what it is. At the very beginning of my talk, I said there's all things that we want to do, things that we want to be, things we want to experience. Get clear about what it is that you want to experience, or who it is that you want to be, or how it is that you want to be, and then visualize your success doing that. Those visualizations are nonverbal prayers to the universe so that the law of correspondence can correspond with that new consciousness, that new sense, that new felt awareness of that thing that we want. We become on the inside what it is that we want to experience on the outside, and therefore we draw those things to us. We activate that law so that it can orchestrate the things in the world so that they match this vibration we've created in ourselves, a vibration of excitement and of acceptance and of how we're going to feel and how we're going to be and what we're going to be doing when we are having or doing this new thing. And visualizing moves you into a place of acceptance, moves you into a place of anticipation and feeling. That feeling moves you into the place of moving into it. Then in that acceptance, your desired good can find its way to you. And so once you're clear about what it is that you want and you visualize it and you create that vibration within yourself, decide what the steps are that you need to take. Decide what the resources are that you're going to need. Inner resources and outer resources, and then use those as a roadmap to take you to where you want to go. Do you need to call a realtor? Do you need to figure out how much it's going to cost to do this thing that you want to do? Do you need to know that life is for you? Do you need to summons forth a new courage or be more outgoing or have more of a voice or be more fluid? Do you need to know that your good, your desires are the way the universe unfolds through you, that it is life's desire for you? And trust life. Trust that divine emancipator. You are never stuck. Never. Stuckness isn't the nature of life. You might have noticed everything is always moving and changing. Trust the miracle of your own soul. Trust the miracle of your own soul to bring it about. Then you'll be rising above that which has been less than fulfilling. You will be rising above any place that has felt like stuckness and instead living the life of your dreams. And so happy Easter to you. Happy day of transformation. Happy new beginnings. Happy spring. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we take our attention from this world of form, and instead we turn our attention to that infinite realm, that realm of infinite potentiality where all possibility exists. This realm that is the mind and the life of God, that is the realm of creativity, that womb from which all things come, this place of creative force, this place of creative imagination, this place of endless possibilities. And so I recognize that infinite presence by whatever name we call it. God or Buddha mind or the infinite or soul mind, whatever name we call it, it is everywhere present. That we live and move and have our beingness within this presence, within this principle, within this atmosphere, and that that presence lives and moves and has its beingness by means of us, in us and through us and as our very lives. And so today we swim in that ocean of God, recognizing it all around us and within us. We swim in this realm of perfect potential. We swim in this realm of boundless love, of peace, of the truth of wholeness and the truth of our own power. And so today, as we open ourselves and we turn towards those dreams, that presence turns towards us and flows out a blessing that is so tremendous and so heart-filling that we are lifted and that our lives are filled. And so I recognize and know that in that presence, there are no delays and there are no obstructions. There is simply the flow of good. And we are a part of that flow. And our lives are an aspect of that flow. And so today we just step in and say yes to life, yes to our own unfolding. And we rise up out of the past. We rise up out of false beliefs, and they simply fall away into the nothingness from whence they have come, for there is nothing to support those false beliefs. And instead, here we stand in this bright light of the divine. Here, recipients to all that God is. And so it is with this knowingness that I say thank you, God, and that I release this prayer into that infinite law, knowing that it is already done, that our good is already unfolding, for it is indeed God's good pleasure, and this is the nature of life. And so I release this prayer in gratitude, and I let it be, and so it is.